Underground Man by Gabriel Taub, translated by Cloudsley Brereton. Introductory. It was towards the end of the 20th century of the prehistoric era, formerly called the Christian, that took place, as is well known, the unexpected catastrophe with which the present epoch began. That fortunate disaster which compelled the overflowing flood of civilization to disappear for the benefit of mankind. I have briefly to relate this universal cataclysm and the unhoped-for redemption so rapidly effected within a few centuries of heroic and triumphant efforts. Of course, I shall pass over in silence the particular details which are known to everybody, and shall merely confine myself to the general outlines of the story. But first of all, it may be as well to recall in a few words the degree of relative progress already attained by mankind while still living above ground and on the surface of the earth on the eve of this momentous event. 1. Prosperity. The zenith of human prosperity seemed to have been reached in the superficial and frivolous sense of the word. For the last 50 years, the final establishment of the great Asiatic-American-European Confederacy and its indisputable supremacy over what was still left here and there in Oceania and Central Africa of barbarous tribes incapable of assimilation had habituated all the nations, now converted into provinces, to the delights of universal and henceforth inviolable peace. It had required not less than 150 years of warfare to arrive at this wonderful result, but all these horrors were forgotten. True, there had been many terrific battles between armies of 3 and 4 million men, between trains with armor-clad carriages flung at full speed against one another and opening fire on every side, engagements between squadrons of submarines which blew one another up with electric discharges, between fleets of ironclad balloons harpooned and ripped up by aerial torpedoes hurled headlong from the clouds, with thousands of parachutes which violently opened and enveloped each other in a storm of grapeshot as they fell together to earth. Yet of all this warlike mania there only remained a vague poetic remembrance. Forgetfulness is the beginning of happiness, as fear is the beginning of wisdom. As a solitary exception to the general rule, the nations, after this gigantic bloodletting, did not experience the lethargy that follows from exhaustion, but the calm that the accession of strength produces. The explanation is easy. For about 100 years, the military selection committees had broken with the blind routine of the past and made it a practice to pick out carefully the strongest and best made among the young men in order to exempt them from the burden of military service, which had become purely mechanical, and to send to the depot all the weaklings who were good enough to fulfil the sorely diminished functions of the soldier and even of the non-commissioned officer. That was really a piece of intelligent selection, and the historian cannot conscientiously refuse gratefully to praise this innovation, thanks to which the incomparable beauty of the human race today has been gradually developed. In fact, when we now look through the glass cases of our museums of antiquities at those singular collections of caricatures which our ancestors used to call their photographic albums, we can confirm the vastness of the progress thus accomplished, if it is really true that we are actually descended from these dwarfs and scarecrows, as an otherwise trustworthy tradition attests. From this epoch dates the discovery of the last microbes which had not yet been analysed by the Neo-Pasteurian school. Once the cause of every disease was known, the remedy was not long in becoming known as well, and from that moment a consumptive or rheumatic patient, or an invalid of any kind, became as rare a phenomenon as a double-headed monster formerly was, or an honest publican.